Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Madame Perry Salon. I am your host, Cruise Director Jennifer, or Madame Perry, and I'm so very happy to have you with me here tonight. And tonight we're going to have some music later on from some of our friends, and also an interview with a fascinating woman that I just learned about last week. And if you've seen my things on Twitter and Facebook, you already know what to expect. But I just want you to know this is going to be one of the best shows you've ever heard and one of the best people you've ever gotten to know on the show here. Of course, all my guests are fabulous, but some have their own special things and works about them. If you want to call in tonight, the number to the studio is 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. 9922. And let me just go on and say here that my guest tonight wrote a book called Living Fulfilled. You know what? You might have heard my ad about her. I'm going to just go ahead and bring her on here and let her tell you. I don't want to get started and tell you the wrong thing. My guest here, welcome to the studio. Come on into Madame Perry Salon. Her name is Lisa Thomas McMillan. Lisa, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, and I appreciate you asking me to come on.
I am delighted to have you here. And when I just found out about you, and some people who have listened later might have heard me talk about you on the show last week, it was about your book, and it is called Living Fulfilled. And
yes.
The subtitle is, and I want to hear this from your lips because it comes from your heart.
The book is, yes, Living Fulfilled, The Infectious Joy of Serving Others.
That's it, The Infectious Joy of Serving Others. And I wanted to hear it because I know it comes from your heart. And the reason this book came about, and, you know, we have a lot of authors on the show, a lot of musicians, and I am blessed to meet so many fascinating people, creative people like yourself. But then there are always some who have gone something beyond in sharing their gifts to create a mission. Now, as I understand, and I build you on here as an author and an activist because of the work you do to help feed the people who are hungry. You've opened a food bank.
Yes.
And
yes.
You deliver meals to the elderly. But what I want to know, I'm sure you're the kind of someone who would do this, like you, Lisa, is someone who's all, you've obviously always had a place in your heart to care about other people. But I understand that there was one very significant event that happened in your life about 17 years ago that really just sort of was like an epiphany.
Yes.
That just charted a course of action for you.
It was. I had moved home from California, and I'd been there a couple of years, and I was in a grocery store and standing in line, and there was an elderly lady in front of me, and when it came time for her to pay for her groceries, and it wasn't a lot of money, she broke my heart because she was, pulling out coins, and she didn't have enough money. And I saw her hands trembling, and all this compassion just came over me, and I had this empathy for her, and I offered to pay for her groceries, and I did pay for them. And after I paid for mine, I ran out and caught up with her in the parking lot, and I talked to her, and I found out that she was living on a very small amount of money, and she just didn't really have the money to buy adequate food, and that's what started me on a mission to make sure that that didn't happen to people in my community, because that's, you know, as far as I could go at that time. But that's what really got me going, trying to save the elderly.
But that had to be a powerful moment. And, of course, you know, I think a lot of us said that, but, you know, you had to have already been raised. I think sometimes people are born who they are, but sometimes I think, you know, there's nature and there's nurture, and it's also how you're raised. There had to have been already a part of you or a spirit in you that made you care. Because some people, you know, I think a lot of people would care. A lot of people wouldn't know what to do, and a lot of people would just kind of keep on going.
Yeah, you're right.
But you didn't.
No, I didn't. My whole life I had that in me, and I could tell at an early age I did. Once my mother told me, she said, you know, Lisa, she said, all the neighbors say that no matter how many times you pass by their house, you're going to speak to them and call their name. She said, none of the rest of the children do it. She said, but you do it. And that's just the kind of personality I had. I loved people. And I always tried to help people. Before I saw this lady in the store, I had started a little breakfast delivery before my home, where about 27 elderly people in the community, I would get up and cook breakfast every morning and take it to them. So I knew there was a need in the community for helping the elderly, but I didn't know how deep it was until I started finding out things. And one of the things I found out was about the elderly not having enough food to eat. But it is in you, and it's in most people. Most people are having it in their heart to help, you know, but a lot of them just don't know how, you know.
Okay, I got to get back to this point. You said, you know, like your mother said, that, you know, people would notice about how, you know, you took time to you know, say hello or whatever. But when you started this group of making breakfast for elderly people, how old were you, may I ask?
Oh, yeah, that was when I came back from California. I was in my, like 30-something when I came back from California. I came back from California because my parents were getting older, and they had that big earthquake back there in 1994. That kind of drove me home. I didn't want to come home, I'll be honest with you, because I was used to living in a big city, and my hometown town is very small. But when I got here, I found out that a lot of elderly people didn't have breakfast, didn't eat breakfast. So I just started a little thing about, I fixed it at home, and I would go by Burger King and buy enough coffees, and then I would take it out and deliver it. And it brought great joy to my heart. And so that kind of put me on this road, and I've just been going ever since, you know, doing different things, trying to help people.
Well, that is so sweet. Like you said, when you say, and I think this is one thing that I talk about, and anybody who ever listens to my show also knows my good friend Kenya Colbert, who has a show called, well, she has two, Everything Relationships, which is on Friday nights, and then she also has a children's show, which is Through the Looking Glass with Kenya Colbert. And, you know, we're like Gail and Oprah. You know, everybody knows, one of us knows the other. But we all talk about how you know, it's what people say and what they do, and, you know, walking the walk. And so you said it. You actually did it. I mean, but then again, to cook for this many people, you know, that cost you money too. Did you have any help with that?
No, not then. I'll tell you, I am the working poor. I have never made over $15,000 a year in my whole life. That was a little over $15,000 was my highest salary for any year I ever worked. But the thing is that, and I've heard people say that, well, a lady was telling me one time, her 10-year-old son wanted to go out and help people, and she told him, she said, well, we're poor. How can we help? And I told her, I said, don't ever tell a child that, because no matter what you have, someone has less. So you have to just have the faith that God will supply all your needs. And the joy, the absolute joy that comes from helping others, there's no, there's nothing to explain it. There's nothing to describe it. It's an inner peace that we all can have. We can have it, and all it takes is the simple thing of helping other people. I found it. I actually found it. And that's what I'm trying to share with everyone, that it's out there, that peace and that joy.
And that's the thing, too, we talk about, that, you know, you believe. If you don't mind, I'm going to read this from your website. And anybody who's listening to this podcast, whether you listen to it live right here tonight on January 7th, 2016, or if you're downloading it later and listening to it, you see I've got a link to Lisa's website, and it is, the website is pleasebelievepeopleareHungry.com. And if I could just read one thing of it, it says, what you will learn from the book is this. This is Thomas McMillan's story, and she tells it with great empathy and enthusiasm. So whatever religious reflections there may be, it should not dissuade any reader from giving the book a try. Her main message is that people should help to take care of others. That may be Jesus' message, but it's also common sense. So beyond whatever proselytizing there may be, the core of this book is uplifting and effective. And, that's what matters. I think sometimes, you know, it's so easy sometimes when you're getting wrapped up in your own problems of what we lack or what we need, what we lack, what we want. And they realize there's always somebody else with less, or somebody else who needs a little more than what we need. And if you can do something there, there's a fulfillment that fills your heart. So let me get to it too. So what you did, though, on that day when you saw the lady in the grocery store, and like you said, it was just a small amount of food, and she was couldn't pay for it, and she's struggling. You can tell she's nervous, she's upset. You did something really, really tremendous. I mean, just really quite amazing that I don't think many people could do. And when I say journey, your journey is figurative, and it's also literal. So tell us about the literal part, starting from putting one foot in front of the other.
Yes. Well, when I started realizing that it was a great need in our community to feed people, I got a little frustrated because I couldn't make other people see it. So one day I was sitting in the den, and I said, Lord, what can I do to make people realize that people are hungry? They need help. And he told me, run away. Came to my head, run away. Walk to Montgomery and take a letter to the governor. And I'm sitting up there like, and all like, what? walk, that's 110 miles, walk somewhere. And I thought he was talking to somebody else. I said, now, devil, leave me alone. I'm trying to talk to the Lord right now. Leave me alone. But then he said it again, and I didn't question it anymore. I got up. That was like in December. I got up, and I started making plans to do this walk. I got a friend of mine to type the letter up to the governor, and in March of 2004, I walked from Bruton, Alabama. Now, if someone had told me 20 years ago I was going to walk 110 miles, I would say, you are out of your mind. I'm not walking 110 miles. But I walked in 6 days, and I walked to Montgomery, and the governor was there, but he wouldn't see me. But he regretted it. Because news people were all over him, and before I could make it back home, he was calling me, telling me he would give me an appointment. But I made it, and I said, this is making a difference. But on the way to Montgomery, the Lord told me, he said, now you're walking to Montgomery this year, but next year I want you to take that same letter to Washington. I said, no, it's a 928-mile walk. But I did. I couldn't believe it. It took me 53 days. But I tell you something. It was, oh, my goodness. It's just a dream of a lifetime to do something like that and make it through. And everybody was scared for me, my parents and everything. But I knew I wasn't scared. I was afraid of dogs, I'll be honest. God had told me already I was going to be all right. But that's just an experience that you can't describe, really. To be out there on the open road and you're walking for a cause and you, people are blowing at you and stopping and chatting with you and about what you're doing and stuff. It's just awesome feeling. And
really?
I feel so good.
Well, let me ask you, when so people
proud.
Come to talk to you, what did they say? The people, I guess,
oh,
maybe at a certain
well,
point, people would say,
oh,
were.
This is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. I'm so happy you're out here. This is just something great that you're doing, and God bless you. They were saying stuff like that, and people would invite you to lunch, and you could go and sit down. You talk to people at lunch, and we stayed in convents along the way, and different people's homes, and that was an experience in itself, a wonderful experience. I mean, here you are, you're a stranger, but here this person is that don't know you, they only know you're walking, but they leave you a key to get back in their homes the next night because they won't be there. They won't be there, but that's a place for you to stay. Is that not wonderful?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's amazing, and it's wonderful, and that's just something you don't hear or see every day.
No.
That had
no.
to have been just breathtaking to you, I would imagine, that somebody would just, people would be that open.
They were open. I tell you, it was just wonderful. It's indescribable, but it's the best thing I've ever done in my life. And it changed me because I knew that if you get out and you can actually protest against anything you believe in peacefully.
Uh-huh.
And walking, although they call walking, it's supposed to be, not so peaceful, but it is very peaceful, and it was just a wonderful experience. And I tell you, I want to do it again. I really do. I don't know if I will, but I really would love to do it again. But it got people's attention, and it changed people in my hometown because they knew then I was serious about hunger here. And we have grown over the years, and now, we have quite a few places here now that help take care of the people that, have food shortages.
Now, let me ask you this. When you said, I'm sorry, I'm going back to the story because there are so many fascinating points here. But if you don't mind, Lisa, when you marched, I was thinking, people are probably thinking, you're marching, it's whatever, you're walking.
Mm-hmm.
You walked
yeah.
from Bluton, Alabama, 110 miles, to the Capitol, Montgomery.
Right, right.
And when you said something about that, were there news people following you? Were people learning about you?
No, actually, the Bruton to Montgomery walk in 2004, I had my sister and a couple other friends, they swapped up days following behind me with a truck. And then the Washington walk, I actually had Frank Mason, a friend, he followed me the whole trip, and it took 53 days. To do that trip. So he followed me in a van, and a lot of nights we ended up sleeping in that van, but that's what happened. When it rained or anything, I had somewhere to run and get out of the rain or whatever, but I had someone follow me. But the news people, they were there in the beginning and the end, and I met a couple, and I met one in North Carolina, actually, that did an article, and, of course, Lynchburg, Virginia, they did an article there, but they were mostly at the beginning and at the end of the walks.
And so you said the governor didn't see you, but he was no. he was sorry he didn't once he found out.
He when I got home that night, and the first thing I saw in the news was, how would you like to walk 110 miles for hunger and the governor and I take the letter? I thought, that's what the newsman said when the news first came on. How would you like to walk 110 miles delivering a letter to the governor and he not take the letter?
Okay, that's a powerful lead-in line right there. There you go. Once you start that, that's a powerful line.
Exactly.
But did he get in touch with you?
Yes, he did. He did. In fact, I didn't see him until the next year. But the next year when I walked, I actually had a meeting with him. I actually, we made an appointment, and I had a meeting with him, and then I walked from there on to Washington, you know, took a few days, but I got to Washington. But, yeah, we did finally meet. Yes.
And what did he say to you? Did he ask you? What did he ask you? What did he say?
Well, he was asking, I was telling him about hunger and how bad the situation was here, because I thought it was pretty bad when you work all your life and, you know, you're getting $17 for food stamps. And you're only getting $500, and you can't make it. And he was saying there was a lot of abuse in the system and everything. And I said, well, yes, but you know, we can't penalize the people that need it because of the abuse. You got to clean that up, really and truthfully. And I told the people here that I didn't get much accomplished, but at least he got my letter, and. He did sit down and talk to me for about 20 minutes.
Very impressive. And I bet he was impressed. He was certainly called out, so he knew. I mean, you would have made a very powerful impact on everyone. So,
yes.
How did you feel, though, with that? Knowing that when somebody starts off, that's a powerful lead-in. For a news reporter, how would you like to walk 110 miles and the governor and I talk to you? I mean, that's a powerful lead, which called him out, but how did that make you feel?
Well, when I heard it, I go, oh, my goodness, you have got to be kidding me, because I had no idea that they were going to do that. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I made a difference. They actually paid attention to the walk, and now – People, you know, at least knowing, and I'm sure people knew, but they just, you know, they go on with their everyday lives, and it's like, it's on the back burner, but I wanted to bring it to the front burner because it was time, it was necessary, and people were suffering, and finally there was on the front burner that people are going hungry, not only in Alabama, all over the world, in the United States, and what are you all going to do about it? What are we going to do about that?
Yeah.
What are we going to do about that? And it made a difference, you know. And then the next year, we took it even further. And we had our signs on the van and everything. And then, you know, people would read them and, like I said, stop and chat. And then that way you know, you kind of spreading the word that way also. But thousands of people saw the signs and everything. And it was just a wonderful spirit. I would suggest to everybody they take a walk somewhere for something that they believe in.
Did you feel a lot of respect from people because of what you put into it? You feel like it made them pay more attention to what you were doing?
Did I make a lot of more people pay attention?
Well, did you feel like it made people respect your efforts?
Yes, they did. I think it did make them respect it and it opened their eyes because, you know, actually I learned that you could be walking, people can walk all around problems and not even see them until somebody said, hey, look, person there is hungry. And they go, what, really? I didn't know. So now it's like, oh, well, God, I didn't know we had people in, you know, in Bruton that were hungry. When I started in this, we had one church here giving our food, I think, once a month. But now we have numerous places giving our food. So, yeah, over the years, it has made a difference.
Now, I'm going to ask you more. So then, though, when you walked to Washington, was that the next year? After you walked to Montgomery, and do the same way you had some people, you know, friends, family walk, you know, driving with you or driving behind you.
I had one person, Frank Mason. I had one person following me the whole way. He followed me the whole way, and like I said, it took 53 days to complete that walk.
Good grief.
53 days. I don't have any regret about that walk. That was a great. It was a pilgrimage, really. It was just great. I almost got hit by a car, and I don't know where we were, but I was too close to the road, and it really got. But that was after that happened, though. I learned that you got to get further off the road, Lisa. And but see, that still, God, see, God had told me he was going to take care of me. And I guess he said, now, I got to show her that she got to get pulled off the road to help me out here. So that's what he did, and I did, you know. But it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's just it's a joy that I have. When I look back on it, it's a joy in my life to look back on.
Now, you published a book. You published the book, Living Fulfilled, and it's available on Amazon. Am I right?
Right, and at the website, yes.
And at the website. And the website address, again, is pleasebelievepeopleareHungry.com. And I've got a link to that here. I'll put a link on Twitter and on the Facebook event for this show, too. Now, people can buy the book from the website or Amazon, and I guess that tells about your journey and about your work. But can people also make donations?
Yes, they can make donations. They can do that on my website. All the information is there. And, you know, we have grown so much as far as who we feed. Now, we feed college kids here because we found out that in this country, a lot of college kids go hungry.
Uh-huh.
We found that out a few years ago. Actually, a friend of mine from California was telling me this, that UCLA, I go, UCLA got a hunger problem? If UCLA got a hunger problem, then I know the little community college in my hometown has a hunger problem. So we started noticing and we started realizing that they did have a problem with hunger. So we started feeding them. And so when you are in this type of business, you have to keep your eyes open. And our mission statement is we feed the need. And that means it doesn't have to actually be food. If we see a problem someone is having and they need some kind of solution, we're going to help them try to solve it if we can. So listen, I tell you, I can't get across enough that just the joyous, the wonderful, fulfilled life it is to do this.
And I'm just so impressed and so proud, because I know that we can talk about it. There's a lot of work that goes into it. I've seen the photos on your website, and I know of events and the people, and I know there's a lot of work in it. I'm also, if I can, I want to read some comments that people have made on your website, if you don't mind. This lady says, I have finished your book, which has inspired me to be more generous and not miss my blessings in the future. I thought I was a generous person, and she probably was, you know, until I read how truly inspired and blessed your life has been. I have visited your website, left a post. I'm so happy to call you friend by email and the web, and I do love you and what you are doing for others. Sincere blessings to you. I think her name is Rita Grant. And was another person says, you are awesome and truly a blessing. And then another one, this book is amazing. It's written from an amazing point of view, from someone who doesn't only talk but walks the walk. Give this book a chance. And, you know, I got some, I call it testimony. I'm just so impressed. So if people... Do you have people working for your volunteers? I mean, how do you set up?
I have about two volunteers, and when we do special dinners for the community, we get other volunteers that call in and they come and volunteer. You know, we do a few of the Veterans Day lunches and Thanksgiving and Christmas. Okay. So we get other volunteers for that. Serving the students, we have couple of volunteers, and then delivering to the elderly, we have volunteers to do that. It's a strictly volunteer organization. The thing about it is, and this is the way I feel about it, truly, 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 anything that God truly, truly, truly has called you to do, money is at the bottom of the list for what you are trying to get out of it. And all of us are volunteers. And it's wonderful to work under that, under that heading, and you know, because it's a good feeling to work that way.
You know, I know I've kept you longer than I told you I would, but if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you also, what, what else would you want people to know out of what we've already talked about? What else would you want people to know about how they can help?
Help people?
Yeah.
There's so many ways you can help people. I'm going to give you an example. I was told about an elderly lady that had to go to, was picking up stumps to put in her fireplace. It was sending me boys out to pick up stumps to keep her warm. Check on your elderly neighbors. If they have a fireplace, take them some firewood. There's so many ways you can help people. When you see someone distraught, you know, take a chance. Go up to them and try to see if you can do something to help them. A kind word or something like that. If you're cooking dinner, and when you're cooking dinner, because most people cook it, and you know somebody that's old, living alone, you don't have to ask them. Take them a meal. They'll accept it. And it makes them feel so warm inside because you have made that gesture towards them, and you're showing them kindness. And it's so many ways you can help people. And, you know, don't just see if you see a house falling down and someone lives there, an elderly person lives there, and they can't do any better. Mm-hmm. If you got a few extra dollars, it wouldn't hurt you to. It would make you feel so good to go there and say, "Listen, you know, your step rails need to be fixed. I'll fix them for you." Mm-hmm. Like that. I mean, it just makes you. I used to worry about things a lot, but let me tell you something. I found that if you got that joy and inner peace in your life, things can be crazy as heck, but it's gonna keep you on an even keel.
And you give, it really does give back. And you're right, keep on even keel. And I'll go a step further by saying, these days, you know, things are changing. Finances, the markets and crashing and everything going on. And so many things happening in the world. You don't know. People, you know, there's a lot of people that have found out, at least in the last 10 years, people have gone from having a lot to live in like they never thought they would live. You know, people saying, "I never thought I'd be going to the soup. I never thought I'd be going."
That's right.
To it. There's a lot of people shot. They go, "I'm embarrassed. I never thought this would happen to me." People are in places they never thought they would be.
That's right. That's right. And you don't ever know where your life is going to end up. I always say this: if I got a whole chicken for my family, and the neighbors next door don't have anything, then guess what my family got? We got a half a chicken because the other half going next door.
Yeah. And I got a feeling if you cooked it, it's going to be a good chicken, a good half a chicken too. But strictly because I got a feeling you're a good cook and you can cook with a lot of love too. Yeah, there's a lot of people, you know, I live right now in North Carolina, and I see a lot of people. It's very tough here for people. It's very, very hard. Middle class is a kind of very, very, very small group, and there's a lot of people who are in need and who I remember seeing a security guard at a store where I went to said, you know, was talking to me. Well, I was working there, actually, and he was telling me, you know, he goes down to the dollar store and was naming what his grocery list was there at the dollar store, and I thought, okay, this man's working too.
It's hard. It's hard, and you can't listen. A rich person can have on just the crummiest clothes. You never know how much money they got. Mm-hmm. But then you find a person that just dressed kind of nice. You think, oh, they got money. No, you can't tell by that. Anybody that comes to one of my friends, they can eat. I don't care what they got on. I don't care what they look like. You eat. No questions asked. I don't care. Because you don't know what's going on in people's lives.
You know, I'm not laughing. I'm laughing because people that know me have heard me say this for years. You know, I used to think that, like, I went to college very late, and I thought, all these college kids, oh, my goodness, you know, they're just not very, they don't seem very materialistic and clothes conscious. Then I realized that the clothes that they had that were raggedy were clothes that they spent a lot of extra money for. And then I found out, they went to, I'm not going to name the store, but they went to this popular little store and paid, you know, $100 or more to get a skirt that looks like something that, you know, we might have thrown out back in the day.
Exactly.
And then I always said, and then the people don't have a lot, you know, usually want to try to keep what they've got as clean as they can and make it look as good as they can. Or find a way. There's always some, you always know. We all probably know, have at least one friend or whatever that knows how to take $5 and make it look like $500 at a thrift store just by what they buy and put it together.
That's it. And a lot of that's going on, which that's not a bad thing. That's, you know, I was in a store, a big store, one in every city, this one is, and I was talking to one of the people, and I knew she had been there a long time. And I asked her, I said, haven't you retired? And she says, I couldn't. And she said, I did. I said, well, what are you doing back here? And she said, well, Lisa, she said, because I can't pay my bills. She said, I can't live. I have to work. And she can hardly walk, poor thing. I go, are you serious? She goes, I can't do it, you know. And well, my heart just went out to her, you know. And, of course, we help her. We found out. Now we help her. Don't find out and not do nothing. When you find out, do something.
Yeah, yeah. You can't find out and not do anything. Well, I'm going to say this again. For anybody listening, like I said, I'm putting this out on all my social media, too. Please believe peoplearehungry.com is the website.
Yeah.
The lady's name is Lisa Thomas McMillan. Book is Living Fulfilled, and it's about the infectious joy of giving to others. And I am just so proud to have met you.
Me
and
too.
To know
I appreciate you.
And you're not through with me. You're not shut of me yet. So okay.
Okay. All right.
I mean, we're going to be staying in touch with each other. And
definitely, I really appreciate you having me on. And I want you to know that I do love you, and I love your audience. I don't know who they are. I don't know where they are, but I love them.
I got good people. Thank you so much. I love you too. I love your spirit. I love you. I love your work. And listen, I got my audience is all over the place and all kinds of people, and they're lovable. I'm pretty proud of them. So you and I are going to be staying in touch for a long time, and I'm going to share you wherever I can, dear. And so anyway. You're welcome. Everybody stay with me. I'm going to have some music, and then I'm going to come back and tell you about a couple more things. What are we going to play? What kind of music should I play? I've got some swing music. I've got some rock and roll music. What do you think I should put out here tonight?
Rock and roll.
Okay. Let's see. Because I was going to say, I've got some R&B. That's a good one. Yeah, I'm going to play. Here's another song I was going to say. You made me think about. I've got a song on here from Bill Withers, The Gift of Giving. And what you said made me think of a song about how he says, you know, call on the widow, see what she needs.
Yeah. I like that.
And that's a Christmas that I had never heard that song of his until now.
Yeah, he's a good singer.
Yeah. But that was a new song. That was a new Bill Withers song to me. Okay, well, we're going to play something from our friends over in Liverpool, England. And their names are, the band is called Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. And hey, we're all about love here. And folks, thanks again to my guest. Everybody stay with me. And Lisa Thomas McMillan, I know she's got a lot to do, but you're going to be checking her out too, folks. Okay, thanks so much. And just stick with me. Lovers Undercover by our good friends Joe Symes and the Loving Kind, a band in Liverpool, England, that is a good friend of mine. In fact, you've probably heard them on my show. You've heard them on Kenya Colbert's Everything Relationships. These guys are fantastic. Now, I want to tell you about another author. You know, you've been talking to, been listening to me talk about to Lisa Thomas McMillan about her work. There's another author I want to introduce you to. Her name is Julie Nichols. And listen, if you're into way out futuristic science fiction, technology, suspense, all kinds of things like that, you want to meet this woman. Look, they say you can't judge a book by its cover, but I think when you see the covers of her books, you know that this woman is total pro. These are gorgeous covers. But right now she has a new book called Blood Ties. Blood Ties is book one of the Blood Trilogies, and it's about K34GEN, who is a Solgen Laboratories number one hunter. He's genetically enhanced and has a high IQ, heightened senses, and thanks to lichen DNA, he is stronger and faster than any man. It's taken him a year to find Solgen Lab's most wanted escapee, Gabriel, a lichen, and K34GEN is finally bringing him in. But despite his 100% retrieval rate, his title and life are about to expire. The labs have created a new hunter, female, Ghost, and she's faster, stronger, and has a new genetic enhancement that gives her the edge. She's a trained killer and eager to replace K34GEN, robbing him of his title and crown. You've got to check this out. Her website is Julie Nichols, and that's JulieNichols.com. JulieNichols.com. This book is Blood Ties, the Blood Trilogy, Book One. It's available in ebook, paperback, and coming soon in audiobook. I love audiobooks because I'm on the road a lot. But she's got a lot of other books. Some of the titles are Demon Within and Fallen Angels, Angel Within, Ascension Within. I see a theme here. You've got, I'll see, Khal Drogo and Daenerys. It's a fan fiction book, actually. And so, yeah, check out Julie Nichols now. In fact, get him over to my Twitter, which is lonewolf.com, because, well, I want it to be Madam Perry. Lone Wolf Communications is my publicity business. And but Lone Wolf Jen, J-E-N-N, on Twitter, or Perry Jen, P-E-R-R-Y-J-E-N-N. And you'll find out all kinds of things going on with Julie Nichols and her sci-fi fantasy books. You will also learn about Lisa Thomas McMillan's book, Living Fulfilled, and the fantastic work she's done to feed hungry people and so much more. Also things with Joe Symes and all the people I love. Now, I am going to, let's see, I think our friend Lisa's with us. Lisa, thank you so much. You've stayed with me all this time. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And I am delighted to have you here. Did you like our friend Joe Symes? You like that music?
Yes, I loved it. Loved it.
These guys are fantastic, and they're just so sweet. So we're hoping we're going to get them over here to the U.S. soon. So maybe we can get them to Alabama and
there
to Georgia.
You go.
Because these guys need a taste of Southern hospitality and Southern cooking.
Yes.
So
I love that
we're going to
remind me of the Beatles.
Yes, me too. Me too. That's one of the first things I told them. All people say it's kind of Beatlesque. Yeah, like early Beatles. So we are going to say goodbye, and I'm going to say this one more time. Please believe people are hungry.com. That's Lisa's website. Read her book, Living Fulfilled. Also, get and go to her website now. You've got some time. You're already listening. Before you go to sleep, you're going to be surfing the net anyway. Check out her website and her work. You're going to be as impressed as
thank
I am.
You so
also,
much.
Thank you, dear, and good
thank
night.
You. Love
and call anytime. Love you too, honey.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, and also Blood Ties by Julie Nichols. It's an urban fantasy, new adult, werewolves, shifters, all science, I Love this. I can't wait to get this book and read it. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to wait. I want the audio book because, as I said, I'm on the road a lot and I love audio books, but I may not be able to wait that long. So definitely check out Julie Nichols, and I've got information for them. I am going to close out with one more song, and I'm not sure what to play, but I think it's going to be, oh yeah, our good friend Kim Meeks. You've heard Sherry Meeks. Her, so this is the dynamic Meeks sisters from Macon, Georgia. Sherry is on what we call her, we're calling it her wildly unconventional book tour for her book Finding Cambry, and she'll be in Atlanta as well as Asheville, North Carolina this weekend, or excuse me, next weekend, the 16th and 17th. Her sister, Kim, is a musician, and she's going to have an EP out soon, and hopefully she'll give me more music from that to play. So I'm going to close out tonight. Thank you for listening to Madam Perry's Salon. I think you're wonderful, and I thank you so much for sharing your time with me. If you don't mind, click the follow button so I can see how the audience grows. Please, if you want to, leave a comment down at the bottom of the page here. You don't have to post it to Facebook, only if you choose to. Let me know what you like. Let me know what you don't like, and so I can know to change something for you. But now we're going to Kim Meeks, Sleeping with the Past. Thank you again for being with me here on Madam Perry Salon.
Try, but I could say yeah.